Welcome to The Exclusive. I'm your host, Sharon Tharp. Today, we're here to break down episode 8 of Survivor 50. And joining me today is a friend of the podcast, a friend of mine, Big Brother 16 winner, a Traitors alum, Derek Lavasser. Derek, how are you?
Living. I'm here. Busy. I'm here with you. Yeah, busy, but good busy, which is, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think a lot of people don't even realize, like, you have a whole business in the true crime stuff in the podcasting outside of reality TV.
Coffee, true crime, private investigations. Very blessed, not complaining one bit. It's better to be in this position than the other side of it, so I'm okay with it.
That's true. That's why thank you for taking the time. I know, like, you probably have you been watching the season, or are you just catching up? Like, have you been watching it every week, and what do you think so far?
Well, yeah, I'm watching. I'm not watching like religiously at the night it comes out, but I'm definitely all caught up, and I'm entertained. There's been seasons where I start watching, and by, you know, this time in the game, I'm like, meh, I don't really care. But This season, it's not the best gameplay of all time, but for me, it's entertaining, and at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Yeah, when did you start watching Survivor? Were you like an original watcher? Jesus. Were you on and off?
So I watched when Richard I remember being like a baby, and then like a really young, and then watching Richard Hatch when I was a little older because he was a Rhode Islander. So like everybody knew about him, and then I watched it because he was at the prison that my city, where I was a police officer. So he was in the federal prison that I patrolled. So I'd go by his building all the time. But I haven't watched every season. I mean, religiously. God, I don't even know the numbers. There's so many of them. I'm trying to think of the first season that I watched where I was like super, probably like Mike Holloway, the season Mike Holloway won with Ronnie and all that. Like that was like what the last one I can remember where I was like really invested.
Yep. So I feel like I fell off in the new era. That was 30.
Okay. So I've been around for a little bit, 20 seasons. Okay.
Yeah. I feel like you were aware of like Russell Hant's era too, though, weren't you?
Yeah, then? I was aware of it, but I wasn't watching it like that, you know, because there were other seasons, and I don't know if Jeremy and Tony were before Mike or after. Were they before or after?
Their first seasons were before, a little bit before. Like,
so yeah. I definitely watched further back then, because I remember watching Tony's season before I went on Big Brother.
Oh, shit. So, okay.
So I remember being on Big Brother thinking about Tony's season because I was like, oh, yeah, that was like the same year that we both played.
Yes. That was a great year of TV, to be honest. Like, yeah. That was one of my favorite Survivor seasons. Okay. All right. Do you know any of this cast? Have you crossed paths with any of this cast? Anyone on?
Do I know them like personally? I don't believe so. I don't believe there's anybody on this cast that I've ever met. If I have, and this is somebody's in your comments is going to like show a photo of us together, I apologize.
I like the reality event. Yeah,
I can't recall. Nope, Suri. I haven't even met Suri. That'd be the only one that I thought I would have crossed paths with, and I don't think I've even met Suri in person.
Yeah. No. Did you appear on Big Brother at any point during BB25, like as a guest? No, right? No.
Nope.
It all blurs together. I'm like, I don't
it
even does. Remember.
Honestly, after all these years, there was something, I can't remember what it was, where people were like, oh, I said I hadn't met this person, and somebody had like a photo of me with them. And I was like, dude, I don't know, man. I don't even know.
I also don't remember. And because these events have so many people sometimes. So yeah. Trust me, I get it. Okay. So going into this episode, I feel like the twists are always hit or miss. I didn't hate this one because I felt like you had some agency. You could pick your partner, and they obviously didn't seem to figure out why they were picking a partner. But what did you think of this twist?
I mean, there's two sides to look at it. As a player, I hate it. But as a fan, as someone sitting here watching it, I don't mind it because it keeps it fresh. It's something new. It's not just, you know, hey, do the immunity challenge. Someone gets immunity. Everyone kind of decides that it's going to be between two people where even based on the edit, you can kind of tell who's going home and then that person goes home. So for me, it did add another layer to it where you could be in a good position, but because your partner is in such a bad position, you go home, and that's something that you have to consider. And unfortunately, you don't learn that aspect of twist until after, you know, you've already selected your partner. So I thought it was interesting. Do I think it ultimately played a huge factor in what happened last night? No, I don't think partner selection was the big thing. I think it was just basically two birds with one stone, you know, two of the same players you can get out at the same time.
Yeah, I was wondering what like the logic was, because you saw like Joe team up with Tiffany, who he's not working with. You see Christian and Jonathan. And so I was like, they must have thought that one or the other was going home or something, right?
That's what I would have thought. I would have thought like Squid Games. Like, you know, the natural reaction is to team up with your best friend and then twist one, you're going against each other. I would have thought they said you're pairing up, that it was a competition against each other personally.
Would you have pulled a Suri and been like, I'm going to Rocks, I don't even want to be involved? I thought that was, I would have thought it was a good thing too, because people kept going to Epsilon, like staying, they were safe. So I was like, I would have done that as well. But
yeah, I think it would have been good to do that, just because you don't show your cards, where you're like, hey, I don't want to have to pick someone and show that I don't like that person or that we're aligned. So just to kind of, again, keep everything in-house, you know, hold my cards close to my chest, I would have been like, yeah, I'll go to Exile. That way I don't have to show anything.
What did you think of the Exile challenge? I was like, I felt like either way, she didn't lose her vote. She just wouldn't be able to go to Tribal. But I guess like that wasn't like the worst thing, but she had to stay overnight, I guess. I don't know. Like, I thought it was fine, but what'd
you think? Let's talk about the fact that like when she, that was a huge hourglass, but when you looked at it, there wasn't a lot of sand in the hourglass. And yeah, again, it's editing, so it's hard to tell, but I'm like, how much time did she actually have? She sat down, she took a break, contemplated life, and then she still found it, which kudos to her, you know what I mean? Like, because everyone watching at home is probably like, oh my god, there's a big like gold phoenix on it, how can't you like, can't you just scan around and find it? But as a competitor, they don't disclose that information to you. You don't know if the phoenix is this big or this big. Yep. You don't know if it's on the bottom of the coconut and they deliberately faced it downward, so you'd have to flip them all over. So like, you could only do what she really did, which is like systematically, almost like a search for a missing person, just kind of chart it out and go grid by grid, which is exactly what she did. And there must have been more time than it looked like in the hourglass, because I was thinking she had like maybe 30 minutes. And I don't know, I would be difficult to go through 2,000 coconuts in 30 minutes, but maybe she had longer than I thought.
I'm going to ask her. I'm actually curious, because we've seen before them use an hourglass and it was like for 4 hours. So I'm like, it would be nice as the audience to know how much time they have.
Go back and look. Like, it was like purple sand and I thought, or black sand. And it looked like it was like only like a third of the way full when she flipped it over. I'm like, oh, that's going to go relatively fast. But again, it must have been... there's editing there, right? There's a lot to it.
Editing.
You know, I don't think, I'm not implying they cheated or anything. I'm just saying like, you know, editing, she might've sat down and took a drink of water for 10 seconds and they made it seem like it was like a full couple minutes.
Yeah. Cause I was like, why doesn't she go out and then sort of scan? But you're right. Like, she was picking up every coconut and we knew that it was kind of on its side, but she could have seen it. But that bending over and pick, it reminds me from your season of Brittany hitting the soccer balls, having to bend over, pick it up. I was like, that's what kills you.
Brutal, brutal. Absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of editing in there, because even the parts where they're showing from the perspective of the coconut with the phoenix on it at her, like to me, that was filmed after she already found the coconut, like
had a B-roll.
Because obviously I'm going to be looking at the guy on the ground with his camera facing up at me, you know, so that must've been done after the fact. Like, there's a lot to it where you got to be like, okay, this is a TV show. It's not exactly the way it looks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so not to bury the lead here, we go to Tribal, we lose Chrissy and Coach. I think it's just a matter of like, whose game did this benefit? And I think for Suri, obviously, Devins and Aubrey are two people that she's kind of working with on the down low. So like, that made complete sense for her. But I'm just curious, like, who else did this benefit and who did it not? Like, I think Devins and Aubrey were probably more dangerous, but I could be wrong. I don't know. What did you think?
I agree completely. Devins and Aubrey are head and shoulders above Coach and Chrissy. And for me, it's like, I think even Tiffany said it, like, nobody likes Coach. Like, he's not going to win. You know, Chrissy's not really doing much. She's not going to win. Devins and Aubrey are literal threats to win the game, and they are playing the middle. And for me, if I wasn't directly working with them, I would have taken them out. Now, what Devins did at the Tribal complicates things, because yeah, he could be bluffing, but he'd also could be telling the truth. And are you going to put all your votes on him just to have you go home? I don't think you are. I think you have to change up your approach for that Tribal, figure out if the idol's real or not, and get him the next night. But did he put a huge target on his back? Did he lose credibility as far as his, you know, if he's being truthful or not. Yeah, I think it's gonna hurt him in the long run. But at the end of the day, things change by the second there, and all it is, it's called Survivor for a reason. You just have to survive. And in that moment,
one vote,
he felt like he was in jeopardy of going home, and so he did what he had to do. And I don't blame him, because even now I don't know if he would have went home or not. There's still a chance that he and Aubrey would have went home. I don't know. Maybe it was just editing that.
I was trying to count. Yeah, I was trying to count the votes, because I'm like, I don't like Joe and Stephanie. I'm assuming flipped when they saw the fake idol play, because like, why would they vote for coaching?
I think I had 7-5 because you had Christian.
Okay,
so let's just play it out. You had Christian when we're talking about Chrissy Coach. Christian's voting for Chrissy Coach because he even said in one of his confessionals, like, "Oh, this is an easy one for me. This is what I would do." I think Tiffany, even though they showed that edit with Joe, she would have voted for Chrissy and Coach. She's still mad at Coach because of the D vote out. Then you have Aubrey and Devins, who would have voted for Chrissy and Coach. Mm-hmm. And you have, who am I go through the thing with
Emily here. Rizzo.
Emily and Rizzo, I think, would have voted. Again, they showed them. They showed Rizzo talking to Joe. Maybe Rizzo not, but either way, you have Emily. That's 6 right there. And so that would have been, how many were left? I don't know. I think that would have been all they needed to, if everyone voted that way. So, because then you only have Stephanie, Joe, Jonathan.
Three.
You would have Chrissy. Chrissy, Coach. Yeah, I think Ozzy would have voted. I think that's another one. Ozzy would have voted out Chrissy and Coach because Siri wanted it. And I didn't even count Siri. Yep. Siri's also a vote. So it would have been like 7-5 or 7 or 8-5. It would have been either way they stayed.
I know. I was like, Devin's probably did not need to do that. And I do think it's going to hurt his game. He's already in hot water because Ozzy wants him out. Joe wants him out. So I actually don't know like how much it's adding. I don't think it helps. But I also don't blame him because if you're getting votes your way, like...
Yeah,
I get it.
I don't count them in the middle, honestly. I don't think Rick and Devins and Aubrey were in the middle. I think it was the two sides. I think Sari, Ozzy, and Rizgod are in the middle. And I think Aubrey and Devins are on the other side. And they're trying to get those votes. I didn't see them as the middle. They are middle-type players. But there was clearly a line in the sand. And Rick has been pretty vocal this season. And I didn't see him as being in the middle. He was just on the opposite side of coaching Chrissy and Jonathan. Yeah. So I didn't see him in the middle, and this was a battle for power and for the majority last night. And although they survived, I don't think they gained any more people to their side. They're still the middle.
That's a good point. That's a good point because Sari is working with both sides. So like,
no doubt.
She's more in the middle than the Devins. Cause that, there's a line in the sand with that. So actually
Sari ain't going to be loyal to any of them. She'll cut their throats tomorrow. If she has to.
All right. We'll talk to you about Sari's game real quick. Cause how do they keep letting her get away with this?
You know, I hope people don't take this as a dig. Cause Sari's one of the best players to ever do it. But Sari's inability to be good at comps is what makes her so dangerous, because people they're not threatened by her. It's the same thing on Traders. They just see her as, you know, the mom or grandma who's there, who's not going to be great at comps, who's just nice to everyone, and we'll get her later. But she's extremely strategic. She's extremely self-aware, and you let her sit around and she's like a virus. She's just slowly spreading until she's corrupted everybody she needs to. And then she's pulling the strings, kind of like she did last night, where she comes back and she's like, no, this is what we're doing. And there wasn't even a lot of effort on her part. So I think one of her flaws, if you will, not being able to be good at comps, is actually a strength, because it makes her unassuming and people, they underestimate her. Every single show, they underestimate her. And she just plays right into it. And so I like Sari, but I wouldn't keep her in the game because I know she's the type of player that only gets more dangerous as it goes on.
Exactly.
Because she's working behind the scenes. So the best time to get her is early, because if you leave her till the end, she's going to beat you. Now, the problem with that is everyone knows that there. A lot of the people who are playing right now know the type of player she is. So I have, even though I think she's playing one of the best games right now, I feel like a lot of the players know they can't take her to the end, and her inability to win competitions is going to be a problem, because I don't know if anybody's dumb enough to take her with them, because plus her arc, she's never won. You bring her to the final two or the final three, she gets there, she's winning unanimously. So
yes,
That's looking out for her long term of winning the game. I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay.
But I'd love to see her win. I'd love to see her win.
I mean, if she gets there, that's crazy. And she it's kind of like she gets Tony there, she when wins. He, like the fact that they let Tony get all the way to the ends of Winners at War, I was like, what the? Like, crazy. Give him the money.
Yeah, if she gets there, she wins. The problem is, including her closest ally, Riz, if that is her closest ally, I would say, what, him or Ozzy, probably?
Yeah.
Ozzy would take her. I don't think Riz God would.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it depends.
That kid's a super fan.
He is. I don't know how you feel. I know he's polarizing. I know people think he's annoying. I've been impressed with the way that he can sort of course correct and like adapt to whatever the, like, he knew how to play up to coach. Like, I don't know. What do you think of Rizzo's game, I guess, so far?
I think he's playing one of the best games. He just keeps going wherever he's playing. He's playing a middle game. He's playing a middle game where he's a free agent. And he even said it, like, I want to get rid of those players because they're playing the game I want to play, you know? And so I think he's in the middle and I like him. I think it's endearing. Like, listen, I hope he wouldn't take this the wrong way, but like, you know, he's kind of a nerd, but he's also like one of the coolest Survivor players to watch at the same time. Like that's his element. He's been watching since day one. He is the epitome of like a Survivor fan who's like confident in one thing and it's Survivor. Like he knows what he's doing. And like outside world, he's probably a little bit of a goof, but in there, like I'm rooting for him. Like I think he's great.
That's how I feel. I think Chrissy told me, she was like, it's gone to his head a bit. And I'm like, I kind of love it.
Riz God. The guy, he calls him Riz God. And like, you know what, by the way, if he was like the coolest kid in school, I take it back. I bow down to you, Riz God. But like, I feel like back in the day, him talking Survivor like this, people might have been like, yo, he's a nerd. But now it's like he's in his element. It reminds me of a movie, which probably half of you won't know, but it's what's it called? Tomorrowland with Chris Pratt. I think that's what it is. It's a war movie, and basically it's about aliens and stuff. I'm totally getting off the path here. But there's a nerd in class that knows everything about volcanoes. And then ultimately the plot of the movie is they have to figure out where this volcano was. And this one nerd who everyone made fun of becomes the most popular kid in the classroom because, you know, or Tomorrow War, whatever it was called. Either way, if you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you think I'm crazy. It's fine.
No, I agree. I'm really impressed with Rizzo this season. I think, you know, whatever you some people just don't like his personality, but I think it's hilarious.
But he's polarizing. That's the thing. You have an emotion about him. Either you love him or you hate him, but either way you're watching him. So
yeah,
that's how you get casted multiple back-to-back seasons.
Yeah. Good for him. I asked Chrissy about him because I still was a little confused why she voted for Rizzo knowing he probably wasn't getting the next amount of votes. Like, wouldn't you vote Devins and Aubrey there just in case it was close?
I think she felt like, oh, they're still going to vote out Rick and Devins and keep us, but we got to throw one vote to somebody else in case they have the idol. So she might have thought that everyone was still on the same page to vote for Devins and Aubrey, but she was going to be the one vote for Rizzo just in case all those votes didn't count.
Okay. Yeah.
There's pieces we're missing.
Yes. And I didn't get to ask everything I wanted, but okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Oh, listen, you guys are still on board, right? We're still going for him. He's not going to use it. Okay, well, I'll throw one vote on someone else just in case.
Yeah, she also told me she didn't realize, she still doesn't know if she could have played her shot in the dark. I thought Jeff said only one of them could, but it covers both of them, but I still think it's unclear.
I was under the impression they both could use it if they wanted, and if it worked for either of them, it would have counted for both.
Okay.
So I don't know why
she said she might have used it. She said she went in more confident than she should have, I guess. But and then the Devins play, I guess.
Yeah.
But what do you think about Coach as a whole? Are you a Coach fan? Are you like, what were your thoughts on him?
I think he's like authentic to who he is. I don't necessarily think he's like a good Survivor player, but again, I haven't watched every season, and apparently he changed Riz God's life. So I mean,
Emily flipping love that.
Yeah, dude, Emily's reaction was amazing. But yeah, I don't know him. Like, I don't pretend to be like a Survivor like expert at all. And so he might be like the next best thing since sliced bread. But I have only seen him on this season, and you know, he's good TV, but like, yeah, he wasn't gonna win.
I was trying to think of the Big Brother person over the years that likens to him of like, he's a specific kind of TV character, but not necessarily like the greatest game player. But we he's unpredictable. I don't know.
Maybe like a Zach Rantz, like kind of just unpredictable. Okay. Like you can't really control him. He's going to do what he wants to do. And, you know, we tried to like parent Zach in there as best as we could, like Chrissy was doing. But ultimately, you know, he's a peacock. You got to let him fly.
They're going to go rogue. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope people get that reference, but maybe not. Did you get the reference?
The peacock gonna fly?
The other guys, the movie. I'm just throwing out movie quotes today.
I'm a TV person. I don't know movies.
Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell. He's like, I'm a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Oh yes, yes. Okay, the comedy. Okay, yeah. Got it.
You're like Derek.
Shut up. No. Okay, so the idol play. Like, are you into those theatrics, or do you think it was more of a strategy, or is like a little bit of both? And did you enjoy watching that, or?
No, okay. I don't really. I mean, it's funny like the first couple days, but then I'm like, all right, dude, I don't care. Like, he seems like a nice guy. Like, definitely would have a beer with him. But I mean, he just seems like he's truly out there. Like, he really is out there, and I don't think he's putting on for the show. I just think that's who he is.
I enjoy Devin's just because it brings something different. I don't know. I guess I can appreciate the characters just because like I don't need the same sort of. Strategy like I feel like he thinks outside the box a little bit more, which is fun to watch. But yeah, I don't think I never feel like he's playing a winning game. Like I feel like it's really hard for him to win.
Oh, okay, so you're talking about Devin's. I thought you were talking about Coach though. Yeah, I like Devin's.
Oh no, sorry, Devin's.
He plays hard, and yeah, it's not necessarily a winning game. The only defense I would come to him is like everyone's kind of wary of him and threatened by him, but he really doesn't have a choice. But the dude is playing. Like you can't knock someone for playing the game the way it's supposed to be played. You play hard, you go for idols. He's trying to be in the middle. I don't think he has that in him. He's gonna be out there. He's gonna have a personality. He was on TV, wasn't he? Like a news anchor or a weatherman or something like that. Like he likes to be in front of the camera. He's putting on a show for the audience. And I know some people love him, some people hate him. But again, it's like at the end of the day, if you're coming to watch him because you love him or coming to watch him because you're going to hate watch him, either way, it's good for TV. And that's why, again, another reason he's getting called back.
Yeah, no, I know. I enjoy that. And also, I feel like we need a foil to this like honor and integrity thing, which again, I think in the game, and we could say this about like even Cody, because I think he built like a really strong alliance as well. When you're in it, it's great. It's just not great TV and everyone's like, okay, rolling their eyes. So yeah, I guess what do you make of that when Coach is like lecturing people of like honor, integrity, no lying, and all this nonsense?
It's Survivor. Yeah. It's Survivor. Yeah. It's Big Brother. It's like, dude, you know what you signed up for. Like, it is what it is. You can try that game, and if you win, great. Like Joe came close, but normally it doesn't work, you know. And I think you shouldn't like scold others for not playing that game just because you are. That's how you win. Like you got to be a snake, man. You got to be a snake. You just got to be sneaky about it. Like a Rizgod where it's like, it's not overt. I feel like Emily is more obvious. She doesn't really hide her face, her opinions based on her facial expressions. Like she's very easy to read.
Yep.
And she also speaks her mind. Like that's just who she is. So, you know, like when she made that reaction to Rizgod saying that wasn't like for TV, she just can't help it. Like that's just who she is. So if you just watch her for 10 minutes, and have a conversation with her, you'll know exactly where she stands on each and every person. I would just check in with her once a day and just run through the names and just make note of like who she likes and who she dislikes based on her mannerisms.
Yeah. I mean, she was playing pretty messy early on though, just running around telling everyone everything. That would annoy me.
She can't keep a secret. No, no.
I don't know about that.
No.
Okay. So what else? I'm like, what else happened? Oh, Jonathan, we didn't talk about. I feel like he had a couple big episodes, and then this episode, he kind of went away. He got advice from Boston Rob going to the game. Maybe that helped him. But what do you think of Jonathan?
I mean, the dude's an absolute animal. I mean, as far as competitions, like, I mean, he takes his shirt off, and I just hate myself every time he does it. I don't know. I mean, it seems like the edit that he could go deep in the game, you know, but I think just like, Sari, people may be underestimating his like strategic prowess a little bit, where they're like, oh, he's just a competitor, we can get him out later, and they're more worried about the people who are playing like a meta level game where he just kind of like, I don't like you, you crossed me, you're going home. Like he just goes straight at it. I don't know how much Boston Rob played, if that's how he did things. I feel like based on my experience with him, if you try to cross Boston Rob, he's going to get
before you get him. He was running shit. Yes, yes, yes.
So I feel like exactly. Jonathan's kind of playing a similar game where it's like, oh, like he said to Devins last night, like, oh, are you being straight? You know, you're showing your true colors too. Like, I'm telling you straight up, I'm coming for you. Like, I don't care. You know, and
yeah,
I think he got a reality check last night that he's not in a good position. He's not in a good position.
No, I didn't love how he was like talking to D and just like, I'm like, yeah, get over it. You just blindsided Tiffany. Like, you're even now. Like, come on.
They're even. I think with that conversation, it's both of them. Like, they're both gaslighting each other. Like, it's again, it's Survivor. D, you're lying to his face. He's lying to your face. Like, at the end of the day, the whole like integrity and telling the truth, you can try it. But like, D was playing hard, but she was playing too hard. And I think even she would admit that. Like, she had a big target on her back from the beginning because she was a winner. So she really had no choice. But like, you can't go around being like, oh, you lied to me, or dude, you're all lying to each other, period.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. You mentioned Joe. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Joe just played and lost playing that loyal game. Wouldn't you go into this season and switch it up? Like,
that's just who he is. I mean, I know it's going to come as no surprise to you, but I really like Joe. Like, that's like my type of person.
He's a nice guy. I've met him.
Yeah, like I want to meet Joe bad. He's like great. I want to meet Joe. He's great, and good things happen to good people. I saw he just got a new show. He's doing a firefighter thing. Like, he's a good dude. He's going to be fine. His prototype isn't necessarily built to win the show, but he's got a great story, great competitor, someone who's easy to root for. And I would love to see a player like that win. You know what I mean? I just, it's hard. Yeah. It's hard when you have the Devins of the world around you, man. They're sharks and he's not. He's just kind of like, he just takes everybody at their face value until they burn him. And then when they burn him, it's too late, you know? So I think a similar story will happen here where he doesn't have like a big alliance, you know, and I don't really feel like he has a number one. Even last night, he's still trying to build that connection with someone like Tiffany this late in the game. Like, he doesn't have his ride or die. And I don't really think anybody does. Am I missing it? Like, it feels like everyone is so malleable as far as like, I'm working with you tonight, but maybe not tomorrow. Like, I wouldn't trust Christian. I wouldn't trust Emily. I wouldn't trust Rizgod. You can't trust Sari. Like, you can't trust any of them. Like, who can you trust? They're going to burn you if they have to.
I feel like Joe, Jonathan, Stephanie are pretty locked in. Those three.
Joe, Jonathan, Stephanie. Yeah. Yeah, you're probably
they're like
right.
The remnants of the honor and integrity lines.
Yeah.
That's what's left over.
It's not going to get them far. Yeah, sure. Those three. Yeah, I think they're pretty locked in. And Stephanie would stay loyal and Jonathan would too, but they kind of have to at this point because where are they going to go? Ozzy's someone too that you would think on the surface is super loyal, and I do think he is, but he chooses his person and then that's it.
That's
where
it.
His person is Sari. So even though he's pretending like he's loyal to these other guys, he's not. Sari is his number one. I don't know if Ozzy's Sari's number one. What do you think?
I feel like it's more Rizzo, to be honest. Only because I think Rizzo, she feels like she could probably control more and is on more of that strategic level that she's on. And Ozzy, while I think he's going to follow her wherever she wants, I don't know. That's hard to say, actually.
That's why Sari's good, man. You don't know. You don't know where she's going to go. But right now, she's in the driver's seat.
Yes. Yeah. I will say, I'll give Ozzy credit to the extent of, I think he came in knowing, listen, I've done this three times. I've kind of, I haven't played the best game. I'm just going to follow Sari and what she wants. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm going to try to be a little more strategic. And, you know, and he might flame out, but I give him credit for changing his game a little bit.
Because
he's not usually super strategic in that way.
That's my two right now. Rizgod and Sari are kind of the front runners for me. Ozzy's in there too, but like, I think only because he's connected to those two others. And I don't know if that's going to pan out for him, but based on the show so far, the middle players are Sari, Rizgod, and Ozzy to me. Those are your three.
And I feel like the winner is going to depend on like who's actually on the jury versus who's in the finals, because like you have a bunch of people who care about honor and integrity on the jury potentially, but then you also have these more newer era players like the Devins and the Emilys. It's like, so it depends on who's there of like who's going to win out in that fight.
For sure. But for sure. I think D's going to vote for the best player. I don't think
D is not voting for Jonathan though. There's no way.
No shot. There. No shot. And he hasn't necessarily at this point played a winning game either. So it's like, I wouldn't falter for that. There may be a personal touch to it, but I mean, based on what we're seeing, yeah, he's calling people out. It's entertaining at this point, but it's not a winning long-term game.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. A couple other people we didn't talk about, Stephanie. Mm. I feel like Stephanie recovered. She was kind of in trouble early on, and I feel like she's in a pretty good spot. I feel like she's got maneuver with Ceri a little bit for now. Let's see how long that lasts.
Yeah, but I had never really been exposed to Stephanie before. Unbelievable competitor. Like, the girl's her discipline, her mental fortitude, awesome. Like, love seeing it. Like, she's out there proving it to herself that she still got it, and she still got it. And what I like about her is, yeah, she is on one side with Jonathan and Joe, but I think optically she's at the bottom of that list. So before she goes, those two are going to go, which allows her to get to at least close to the end of the game. And because of her competitive ability, she could take herself. Like, she could be deciding who's doing fire.
That's a good point. I guess, do we know if fire's happening? It was like,
I just assumed. Again, I feel so insecure coming on and doing a Survivor podcast. I only did this because I love you. And it's like, I'm so like novice level that 90% of the people in your comments are more equipped and more appropriate to do this show. The only reason I'm getting it is because I won a show 10 years ago. Like, that's the only reason.
But I like having people's different perspectives. Like, not always the same, you know, the Survivor nerds having the same opinion.
No, I'm a layman. I am not sitting here claiming to be a Survivor expert for anybody who hasn't put that together yet. I enjoy the show from a super surface level, and I'm not by any means qualified to critique any of these players. It's a completely different game.
And it's all for fun. I think people take it so seriously sometimes. In terms of like the commentary.
You think?
Who cares what I think? Couple other things. Do you think Aubrey should have held on to her idol, or just she burned it because I guess people were like, oh, it's you, everyone knows you have it.
Yeah, she had it helped her.
I guess
Not an idol if people know about it. You know what I mean? Like, they're gonna vote you out when you least expect it to try to flush the idol. The only chance you have at surviving is getting rid of it. So you're no longer viewed as a threat. So, I mean, it's unfortunate. She's smart. She knew she had to burn it. If she doesn't, they're going to be like, okay, if she's not going to burn it, we're going to just vote her out. We're going to blindside her. We're going to get her out of here if she doesn't want to, you know, play ball here. So I think she bought herself some more episodes. And by the way, with Aubrey, man, you know, I know that it's a mixed bag on her. She's another one that could win the whole thing. Like, I feel like people are underestimating her. She's made some bad moves so far. Even she's admitted to that. But she's another one based on edit that I feel like, for someone who hasn't played the best game to this point, they're showing her a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't be surprised if she's in the final tribal. If she's in the finals, maybe she doesn't win or not. But again, she's another person that if she gets there, she's so articulate, she could smoke them in a final
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could.
Has she won before? Again, this is how
she lost to Michelle Fitzgerald in the final tribal council.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
She could win. She could win because it's so.
She has a story too.
Yep. She has a story. Dee's the first one there. She's going to have a few other. She's going to have Devin's on the jury if she doesn't make it, potentially, unless he's there next to her. So she has a favorable jury if she gets there, I think.
And she recovered well too, because she had that target. It wasn't necessarily going after Aubrey today. It was more of Devin's. So I feel like, again, Devin's, Christian, they're going to be in front of Aubrey, in my opinion, of people they would target.
I agree.
Especially 100%. With that fake idol play.
And she can win comps. So, I mean, it's the fact that they're showing her even talking about the bonehead move she made, and maybe they're just, like, pulling a bait and switch on us here, but I feel like they want to make sure they tell us the winner story. And I have a hard time not watching these shows and thinking like that now. Like,
I was going to ask you.
Like, who are they educating us on? Who do they want us to be invested in? And there's a few people that they're showing us a lot of. Ceri's another one. I feel like they're showing us a lot of her, and they're showing us a lot of Rizgod too. And I feel like there's a reason for that. Either that it's because they're entertaining, or because they're deep in the game. So if you're not familiar with them, the audience will be by the end of the show.
Yeah, I felt like in the early game, it was like Christian's show. And now Christian sort of took a back seat. and it's become other people. So I actually was like, wait, does Christian win? Like, but maybe it was too obvious. I don't know.
Yeah. Like Jonathan, you would argue he's playing, like he's one of the more power players right now, like making moves, but they're not showing him a ton.
Like, I don't know how much there is to show.
Well, if he won the show, you'd be seeing more confessionals about his game moves and what he's doing. And it feels like you're only really seeing him at the confessionals. I mean, at the tribals, because they really probably can't cut around that. And it's a little bit of drama, so it's good. But I'm not seeing a ton of Jonathan. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes relatively soon. But who knows? Yeah. Maybe he gets to the end and gets cut. Maybe he wins and, you know, throws it in my face. I don't know.
Yeah, the only other person we really didn't touch on, I feel like, is Dark Horse, not to necessarily win, because I think it would be hard for her to get the votes. Let's see. But getting there, Tiffany, I feel like she kind of recovered after last week, and she's sort of getting in. I feel like she could be picked up as a number by a Suri, or you know what I mean? Like, she has a relationship with Aubrey. I feel like she was in the forefront last week, and now I think she's good for a few more votes.
Showing a lot more of her in the edit.
Yeah.
Again, going off just that way of looking at things, they didn't show a lot of her in the beginning, which makes me skeptical that she's going to win the show. But because they're showing a lot more of her now, she could absolutely be someone who goes into the final three. And she may be someone that other players feel, quote unquote, didn't do much in the game. And
that's
so
what she's I think.
And
sadly,
so if they feel like she's kind of rode the middle, she's going to be easy to beat because she's not going to have any points to make to say why she should win, where, you know, that's something that all these veteran players are going to be looking at, like, who can I beat in the end? And Tiffany would be someone, just based on what we're seeing in the edit, would maybe check that box where you think, okay, out of all these players, who's not made a lot of moves, who's kind of just gone with the majority, maybe Tiffany. Bringing Tiffany could be a problem because, you know, she already has at least one vote on the jury. So it depends on jury who you take to the end. And Survivor is different than Big Brother, right? Because you don't get to pick your final two. You can only pick them to go to fire.
Yep.
If that's what they do this year. So I don't know. It's a different game. It's a different game for sure.
Yeah. Going into next week, I mean, we didn't get much from the preview. I think we see like Steph is mad. I think probably because I don't know why she's mad. She flipped her vote, but
They're in the minority now.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what it is. But maybe she's mad about the Devins thing. But Tiffany calls Emily a flip-flopper. That's another thing we saw, which interesting. Ozzy calls Christian a robot. And then we just see Jeff participating in a challenge. So we really got nothing in the preview.
No. I think for me, just watching it, not with, you know, with under a microscope, I feel like, and maybe these people aren't working directly with each other, but I feel like there's one side, which is Christian, Emily, and Devins. On the other side, you kind of have Joe, Jonathan, and Stephanie. Yep. And then you kind of have the middle. And in the middle, there's some people who are working together, like Suri, Rizgot, and Ozzy. But I feel like that's kind of it. Tiffany's included in the middle there. Maybe I'm missing someone. But that's kind of where I feel like the two sides are. And it's going to be who can ever gain the most middle people for right now. And for Rizgot, Suri, I feel like they have to just pick off one by one each side to make sure they continue to go after each other until there's about six or seven left. And then they can just take the rest out. That would be my plan of attack.
That makes complete sense. And funny enough, I was actually worried most about Devins next, because I do think, again, he already has Joe after him, Ozzy, now with this idol play. But Suri does have a relationship with Devins, and so she might be able to push it on, you know, a Christian or someone
Aubrey,
else in the middle.
Or take out. So she's, I would go. If I were Suri, I'd go for that side next.
Yeah.
I would definitely.
She likes Aubrey, though. So well, I don't know.
Then maybe Christian or someone over
or
there.
Or Emily.
Or Emily. One of those three or four people where I don't even know if I included her, but you have Emily, Christian, Devins, and Aubrey. Those four against the other three. And you kind of have that middle spot there where I would probably go for the Aubrey Devin side next to weaken them, because otherwise they're going to be in the majority and they're going to take out the middle players after they take out Stephanie and Jonathan and Joe. So I would try to keep balancing it out just like Big Brother, so that they have to continue to go after each other because they believe they're fighting for the majority. When in reality, you're sitting in the middle, just basically turning their guns against each other, making them take out each other while you sit there and watch the show with your popcorn. You know, that would be my plan of attack. I feel like that's what they're doing. They're just kind of balancing it out. For sure.
Which I kind of think it's smart. And yeah, I think that side's a little more dangerous now. So you got to go after that.
Sari, you cannot mess with that woman. Like, forget the comps, dude. She is so good. Like, I'm watching the show, and what's the most impressive about Sari to me is her read on people. Like, there was a moment with Stephanie where she won that comp, and like, she was almost, she was laughing because it was so obvious to her that she was lying. Cause she just, some people just have it. Some people can just look at you and tell when you're lying without you saying a word. And she just innately has it. She just innately has it. And she is dangerous. She's so dangerous. If she could win comps, she'd already have, she might be a two-time winner at this point.
Yeah, she's good. I mean, it was interesting too. She knew how to handle the situation of like, she didn't want to embarrass Stephanie because maybe Stephanie wouldn't take well that. But she obviously wanted to call her out a little bit. So it was
She knows how to do it. How old is Sari?
I think she's mid-50s now, 50-something.
She's running circles around these younger
people. It's almost like she gets better every time we see her.
She's a fine wine. Yeah, she's from like a strategic, like a meta level. I am someone who is really drawn to that. I love smart people. Like, I like watching smart people because, you know, they're naturally better at this stuff than everyone else. Rizgod's another one like that, where he's a younger, that's what shows you, like, the experience don't matter. He's only played, this is his second time playing, but you can tell his wheels are just turning differently than other players. Like, he just gets it. But I think he is more because he studies, right? He knows the game. Sari knows the game as well, but even if this was her first time playing in the show, she'd be good at it because she just naturally has it. That's why she was great at Traders the first time playing it, because she's like, oh, reading people. Got it. Done. I can do that. Where Rizgod is like an expert on Survivor. All the players, how many times they've probably won competitions. Like, this is his life, and he might be young in age, but he's very mature in experience and knowledge in the game. So I like watching players like that. I don't know what the general can. You are definitely better for this as far as, like, what's the consensus online for these people. I'm not in tune to that. I'm not sitting there watching that stuff.
It's mixed, to be honest. And like,
do people like Rizgod?
It's mixed. You have people that don't and people that do. And so
I'm surprised by that.
I think some people find him like annoying or quote unquote like doing too much. But to me, I'm like, are you watching his maneuvering and his actual strategy? Because it's really impressive, especially this season. I mean, last season he made a big splash because he held onto an idol, people's faces, and they never voted him out.
This is my first time exposed to him.
Oh, then actually that's interesting. You have a different perspective. But yeah, I mean the kid, I call him a kid, but like he's smart. Like he knew when to pull back when Colby was like, you're doing too much. He course corrected. Like I find that impressive. I feel like some people can't do that. So yeah, no, I don't know.
And Survivor and Big Brother, I might as well throw this out there too. Big Brother's auditions are this Tuesday at the MGM in Springfield, Massachusetts. I don't know if this episode will be out by then, but if you want to come to an open casting call, I'll be there. It's going to be a good time. And that's why I love these types of shows. Speaking of Rizgod, because this is someone who is living their dream. They've watched the show since as long as they can remember. And it's a show that anybody can play if you really put your heart and your mind into it. And so he's out there playing the game that he had grew up watching, and Big Brother is the same thing. That's why I enjoy watching someone who's out there for all the right reasons. They just love the game. They want to be someone who's remembered in the game. They're trying to be entertaining. They're trying to give you, the audience, something to bite onto, something to chew on, but also still try to win. And, you know, I love that. I love seeing people out there getting to do what they love and getting to actually fulfill a lifelong dream. That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, he's a good package too. He's like he's very eloquent in the confessionals. Like I think he has a lot of everything that I like. But I did ask him if he would play Big Brother. I think he said no, but do you think he would do well on Big Brother or no? It's totally a different beast.
I don't know. I know he's a Big Brother fan because some people were telling me, I forgot what it was. Like, he's a fan of Dan, obviously. He follows me as well. I believe somebody was saying I think he would do well on Big Brother. I think he would adapt if he learned the show. Does he watch it?
He watches, yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a smart ass dude. You know what I mean? I think Ceree went in there with very little knowledge of Big Brother. I feel like she was just like, I got this, you know, and she did for the most part until she didn't. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I think he would do well. I think people would underestimate him and he'd go in there and he'd kind of be in the middle for a while and then he would take over. I think he would do well for sure.
Okay.
I want to see more crossovers.
Me too.
I want to see more crossovers. I'm dying for it. I mean, I know people may not agree with me on this. I am someone who doesn't watch every season, but I have found this season very interesting. I've felt the need to watch. Like, it's been on and I'm like, oh, I want to watch this before I go on social media and they spoil it. And that's not often the case. I feel like these people are all playing hard. There's something there for everyone. There's all type of archetypes as far as players. There's people to root for. There's people to root against. I personally, from a viewer perspective, like the twists because it keeps it interesting every week. As a player, I would hate it, but I'm not playing. Yep. So I love it. And is it fair? Absolutely not. But it's fun for me to watch. And so kudos to them for season 50. The only criticism that I would have, and I think it's a big one, is I would have liked to see some of the goats. I think there could have been more power players for even someone like me to go and be like, oh man, they got all these people to come out there and play. They did it with winners on all winners season. That was a season I didn't miss an episode. I was like, I gotta be here for this. That is what, you know, that's what you want. But I would have liked to see some more of the people who are like the Sandras, the Jeremys, the Boston Robs, the Tonys. I know there's other things that go on behind, you know, the closed doors, but I would have liked to see some of the gamers personally. I would have liked to see some of the older players like a Mike Holloway he's not even an older player. I'm going to get, you know, crushed.
No, but he's not new era. New era is like 40 and after.
But why not for season 50? And I know there's some legal things there why not get Richard Hatch out there? Is he like canceled?
I think I never can keep track of who's canceled, by the way. Because okay. I thought
if he's canceled,
the same thing.
I take it back. Boo, Richard.
I don't know. I don't know.
Not Hance. What's his last? Hatch, not Hance.
Hatch.
Russell Hance is another one. Like, you know, like, I mean, I would have liked to see some of the OGs that, like, everybody, whether you watched one season of Survivor or 20 seasons, like, it's just like it's an eclectic group of people that represent some of the biggest moments in Survivor. How do you not have Richard Hatch there? Like, I know. Feel like there's got to be more to the story than I know. Like, there's got to be something.
I mean, I feel like he might have been in casting. I forget. They had so many people in the, I don't know who was actually, you know, considered and not, but I think that was the biggest criticism was the casting choices. I mean, they're very lucky that it's turning out to be like a great season anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, I agree. And I just, my big thing is next season, I don't think you can go back to like just regular Survivor. I feel like you need something, a theme, something to switch it up because you need to keep these viewers, right?
Yeah. Is there ever a chance we get I'm sure if logistically they won't, but like we get a 39-day season again?
No. I mean, probably not. That's more likely than them leaving Fiji. Like, they're never leaving Fiji. Fiji's like part of the show now.
Yeah.
But I would say probably not, unless maybe some special season down the road. But
I mean, because we don't even get like, we don't get families coming out to the island anymore, right?
I miss that. I like those episodes. Maybe I'm because I'm a softie, but I
why,
like
why do
episodes.
People not like those episodes?
I think it's hit or miss too. I think there's people that hate the sob stories, which I get. Like, we don't need a sob story from every single person. But when it comes to like genuine emotion, when you're that, like, I like those things. Same thing on Big Brother. We've talked about this when you did Unlocked last year. I'm like, I love the family, you know, throwbacks and you see the families. Like, I love that shit. So
I would love to see a 39-day season again, you know, coming from someone who was in there, you know, in a house 97 days. To me, it's not till about day 20, 25 when mentally and physically, well, mentally for Big Brother, physically for Survivor, it's about day 25, day 26 when you even really start to get there, because physically you might adjust your body will get used to it, but mentally being that removed from civilization for so long, it completely changes you. Even in a house where you have a fridge full of food, I know for me by day 40 I was crying in my bed alone, you know. So it's like I felt like we got some great moments when people were in there longer, and it more was more representative of the theme of the show, which is surviving, you know. And more right now, it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like we could maybe not do it all the time, but maybe once in a while, throw a 39-day season in there. They do it on Naked and Afraid, where they do like 24 or 48, 21 or 72. You know, they do longer series with older players. Yeah, Naked and Afraid has sometimes when they're out there, like there's 7 days, there's 14 days, and then I think they do 21 days. There might even be longer. There might even be longer. But to me, those longer ones were just as entertaining, if not more entertaining. So if you can get some of the bigger stars to go out there and do a 39-day episode, I feel like the viewership would be
through the roof. Australian Survivor has a lot of episodes and actually is pretty good.
How long are they out there?
They're out there like 40 something, I feel like. Longer.
Dude, yeah, I gotta watch. Yeah, like that's another one. Like I'm thinking, oh, Parvati was on Australia, right?
I will say the one that Parvati was on was a shortened season because it was like All Stars. So that one had Tony and Sari. Great but even season, that,
like,
by
get
the way.
Parvati, get Parvati on the season. Yeah. Like 50. Like there's so many players I'm thinking of that were like our Survivor legends. And I don't know. I'm going to throw this to you so you get in trouble. Are there any Survivor legends on the season? Even before people who went home. Who would be considered a legend in the Survivor world that I'm just like not familiar
before
with?
Before
the season? Other than Sari. Sari's a legend.
I think Ozzy's a legend.
Oh, yeah. Ozzy too. Okay, so Sari and Ozzy. Who else?
I will give it to Coach. He's not my type of like legend, but I think he's in the Survivor lore. You know, he's someone you talk about.
He's a big dog. Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, again, I think Jenna and Colby just represent the old school. So that's like having, you know, someone from seasons one or two of Big Brother on. I think it's levels of legends, but I agree. There's people on the cast that I'm like, I don't think we needed to see three people from the last season. Like we could have, they would have another chance. Like we didn't need to see them right now. So whereas like,
I felt like it was more redemption season.
Yeah, that's true.
People who didn't get their full fulfillment of it. They wanted one more shot, you know?
Like Jerry Manthe, like if you brought her back, she's never going to do Survivor again. Like that to me would have like closed the chapter of like her, I don't know. Yeah.
How about Dee? Is Dee considered a legend in the Survivor community? Or is she too new?
She's the best new era winner, I think, hands down.
She's spectacular. She's incredible. She's an incredible player. And really entertaining.
All around. Great.
I really like Dee.
Love her.
My favorite players to watch probably, well, it's Sari for sure, number one. But then like from like a, you know, just unpredictability and like just playing hard. Rizgod, Dee. No, those three. I'll go with those three. Sari, Rizgod, and Dee were my favorite three.
Okay.
Honestly.
Yeah. To watch. Yeah, I think Rizgod said he wanted to come in and make a legacy. I think he is. I think in 10 years, I think people are going to remember him.
He'll be back. He's going to play. Yeah, he's already guaranteed he's playing again, for sure. Joe's someone where you might not see him again because now this is – he's a great, like, definitely someone I would want to be friends with, but now you've seen that character – and that story play out twice where it's like Rizgod, you don't know what you're going to get. Dee, she was up against the wall, only winner. And she did pretty damn well considering all the target that was on her that whole time. And then Sari, somebody's going to learn eventually. You got to keep putting her on the show till people learn. Like if you're in an alliance with her, keep her around. Like if I would try to align with her day one and then I'm good with her, we'll play together. But if by day five, she's not talking to me, she got to go because she's too damn good. She's too damn good. If she's not with you and she's against you, get her out. Do what you got to do because she's gonna squash you. So I'm trying to team up with her. But if she won't have me, sorry, Sari, you got to go.
No, I. That's the right opinion for sure. Even if someone, you love her, but like she's got to go. Derek, I've asked you this, but would you play Survivor or no interest?
No interest. Not because the show's not cool. Just because you could play doesn't mean you should. And I think that there are way more people who want the opportunity, have studied the show from day one. And I will say for myself that it would be an injustice to have someone like me, take a spot over someone who has been wanting this for their entire adulthood. Like I would feel bad doing that, because I am not as dedicated or motivated to play Survivor. I also am pale as shit. I would burn like crazy. I would have mosquito bites on me. Eating wouldn't be a problem, because I just did I just fasted for three. Like, that would be easy. The eating part, I would laugh at people who are hungry. That'd be fine. But everything else.
I'd be great
else,
at that part too.
Yeah. We like to starve ourselves. That's how we lose weight.
Yeah.
Right. So that would, exactly. That would be easy. But like the uncomfortability of sleeping on the ground. I like my bed. I like my food. You know, I like the,
not
I like
doing
the
meta bug bites.
Survivor. But if you made me choose, like, no brainer, if I ever went back on one of these shows, it would be Big Brother over Survivor. I wouldn't want to take the spot of someone. I like being a spectator. Now, if they did like a hybrid type show down the road, like a Survivor versus Big Brother, then maybe. But based on how the game is right now, I am not worthy of playing Survivor. And I'm not saying that to be like sarcastic. Like, there are way better people for the show who would appreciate it much more than me.
That's fair. I just feel like a Big Brother version or something with Big Brother could be fun. Like, if you're not going to put you, Dan and Will or whatever, like, on a shortened season of Big Brother, like, all right, like, maybe we can put you in there with in Survivor. I don't know. It could be fun.
Big Brother, and this is coming from someone who was a host last year. They need to just put their heads together Fly on the Wall would do it. It's CBS. They need to just open up the checkbook, and they need to do an all-winner season of Big Brother. Everyone can shut up and stop talking about it. Open up the checkbooks, get everybody on the show, shorten season, and let's just do it. Like, let's just do it.
Just get it over with.
Do it as like a winter show so it can be shorter. Yep. Like, you know, everybody, including myself, could get away for 30 days or something like that. Like, there's no excuses there. But they got to pay people to go, because everyone in there, with the exception of one, is going to walk away a loser. And CBS will walk away winners because of the viewership. So they got to compensate people appropriately. And I think that's the best bet to see those Big Brother players come back, instead of putting us on Survivor or something else. Like, let's just
cough up the money.
just cough up the money. They got it. They got
it'll
it.
It'll be really good too. I feel like it would drum up. I mean, whatever. Yeah. I think it'd be good.
15, maybe 15 people. If you can get them 12, 15 people, shortened season. Yeah. All winners.
Yep.
Don't even have to be all winners, but people who were close to winning, just people who are considered good players. And if Survivor could do it, it's the same network. Big Brother can definitely do it. And I personally think, like, the return on investment would be there. I think the viewership would be through the roof.
I agree. So
until then, I'll stay in my house and just hope.
I know you got a lot going on, but like, I was going to ask you before we leave real quick. Do we hope Big Brother Unlock comes back? No news, I'm assuming right now. It's only April.
I do. The last I heard of it was when there was something. Was it you that sent me? Somebody sent me an article about Rich and Allison saying they wanted to come back. I know the ratings. I know the ratings from their perspective were good. They liked it. I think they liked the fact that they had these returning. They had these celebrity guests on there. And I feel like the show in its first season did pretty good, and it could only get better. Like, I feel like you take the things that worked and you work on those and make them better, and the things that didn't work, you get rid of them. And I do feel like, and this is a little presumptuous on my part, but if it was like me and Taylor again, they could decide to go with different hosts. If it was me and Taylor again, we could push a little bit more, because now we have a season under our belt. And they were receptive to our feedback, but it was kind of like they had already worked it out. We're going into it now, we could say, hey, this is what worked. This is what people like. This is what they didn't. Let's do more family interactions. Let's do more BTS. Let's do away with like the hot or not stuff. Like, you know, for me, it's whatever. But I feel like they could make it an extension of the show that would work for both live feeders and the casual viewers. And it only gets better
with
time.
You just fine tune it.
Yeah. But again, it comes down to, I know Rich and Allison want to do it, but it comes down to people that you and I don't know. The shot callers at CBS who are crunching the numbers and deciding whether a rerun of a show they already paid for is more lucrative, or a new show, which is new content. And, you know, that's going to give them different stuff and a different avenue to engage. I don't know. I'm biased. I hope it comes back, even if it's not me, because I feel like it added a wrinkle to the show.
It just added also something cool. Like, I know you guys were fine tuning a little bit. We saw a lot of like unaired clips and stuff from the feeds. Like, just more of that would be great. I love just more content. So
I love doing it. I love doing it way more than I thought. I had talked to you before.
Even going on a plane every week or two.
You know the backstory. That was brutal. That was brutal traveling out there every week or every other week, you know, and then flying right home after. Like, I finished the show, guys, and then I would hop on a plane, a red eye, and come home. So that was brutal, but again, not in a position to complain. Like, these are good problems to have. So if I had the opportunity to do it again, I absolutely would. And if it's not me, I still hope it comes back, because any more Big Brother means more people are getting paid, more people, including like the production crew, like everyone's eating well. And then the viewers get more content to consume. That's not just necessarily, you know, the live feed. You get another layer to it. If you want to watch, great. If you don't, that's cool too. I think having James Gunn talk about Big Brother is pretty effing cool.
Yes, I agree. I think
comic book nerd, my dream was made. I'm good.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Derek, where can people check out, if they want to check out your true crime stuff? Because, like, I'm a true crime junkie. I don't have time, but I want to invest back into the podcast, because I used to do that all the time. So what you're saying is
you don't watch my show at all?
No, my sister, I think, does, because she's really into it. But I don't have time, Derek, but where can I watch it?
That was a nice, friendly way of Sharon being like, I don't even know what your show is, or I'd plug it for you. But
Do you watch my podcast?
I do, every single week. Every single week.
No way.
I don't miss the exclusive. I don't miss it.
All right. So, thank you.
Crime Weekly is my true crime podcast. You can listen to it on any podcast platform as well as YouTube. We have two shows a week. We cover both obscure and known cases. We do deep dives on them. We do cases that have already been solved and have like a lot to it that maybe you don't know about. It's me and my co-host Stephanie Harlow, who's a big true crime YouTuber. She's an amazing storyteller. I also have my other show, which is called Detective Perspective. I cover only unsolved cases, cases that are obscure, cases that need more attention, cases where families are looking for justice, but unfortunately, nobody's talking about it. So I cover those cases, give my perspective on it, and then if there's an opportunity for me to donate to DNA funding, whatever it might be, I'll put up the reward money for it. I put my money where my mouth is, and I will pay for the whole thing. And we'll use my private investigative firm to do all the DNA testing if possible, but all the funding comes through Criminal Coffee, which is my coffee company. And we've already solved a couple cases and we're looking to solve more. So that show is kind of like my way of thanking the true crime community for allowing me to do what I have a passion for and giving back to the families that allow me to do this every day, because their tragedy shouldn't be monetized without them getting the reward. And that's how you do it. Giving back to their cases, putting up the funds when needed, and at minimum, bringing attention to their cases so that public and political pressure stays on so that the detectives continue working their cases.
Yep. Yeah, I saw you were covering some cases. Like, I watch a lot of those Netflix and Hulu documentaries, and then I'm like, oh, shit, he's talking about it. And so I'll catch clips. But yes, very cool.
That's my passion. That's what I love to do.
I also heard the coffee's pretty good. Because sometimes, you know, it could be hit or miss with this.
I'm biased, which is why I don't say all the coffee's great. The coffee's great. The coffee's great. Okay. We do not roast our own coffee. I went and teamed up with, in my opinion, the best roaster in Rhode Island. They've been doing it for over 100 years. And they have mastered the science behind brewing coffee, roasting coffee. And we get our beans directly from Colombia, Costa Rica, Honduras, Guatemala. This is not like, you know, I'm just throwing my label on.
Yeah, like the celebrity.
It is for coffee enthusiasts, purists, whatever you want. We have flavored coffee. We have the pure coffee, the organic coffee, if you're looking for just a single origin. So the coffee flavor is first. The difference is, instead of me putting those profits in my pocket, we put the profits towards solving cold cases. Criminal Coffee, that's if awesome. You're interested.
That's very cool. Good times. Well, thank you so much, Derek. I took so much of your time, but I really appreciate it. And for the listeners, for the listeners, please like and subscribe. Go check out my interviews with both Coach and Chrissy. I think they're really good. And I'll be back next week with more Survivor 50 coverage.